fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. Continuing to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles. Over the last week and a half, here we're continuing to celebrate the Easter season and the implications of what it means that Jesus has risen from the dead and he's at the right hand of the Father. Today I want to talk about Acts chapter 4. By way of background, you know, we made our way through Acts chapter 2, which is the story of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the clear message and really the birth of the church. What's the message that's first proclaimed? What's the core of it? The message that the Holy Spirit wants to back, that he wants to move the church to proclaim, the kerygma. We talked about that last week, and if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalmysteries.net. I also want to mention to you, as you're there, you can also check out the registration for our conference that's coming up on the weekend of the 15th of April, our annual Renewal Ministries gathering. We're in Jeanette Bankovic is going to be a part of it. Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, myself, and all our country coordinators, or most of them, not all of them are going to be able to be there, from around the country who serve in different parts of the world in our mission and ministry. We just want to open up that annual gathering to whoever feels called to come and be a part of it. We're going to hear some very, I think, inspired teaching. We're going to have Eucharist. We're going to have lots of great worship, some adoration, a time of empowerment. And you're really welcome to come. If the Lord puts it on your heart, please don't hesitate to join us. But you'll also see there the programs are archived. There are radio programs and TV programs are all archived. You can listen or watch them right there on the computer, download them, put them on the website. You can browse our store while you're there as well. There's a lot of good free stuff there in the store. But also some of the new products that we've created are made available, booklets that Ralph Martin and Sister Ann Shields both did, booklets on mercy in this year of mercy that you'd pick up. One, I think, is free. Also, I want to mention again the DVD series that I did, little six talks, 10 minutes apiece with Dr. Peter Kraft called Jesus Shock. Fits really well into this whole season of Easter, some of it anyway. So take a look at that as well. Chapter 4. And as they were speaking to the people, that is, who's they? Peter and John. Because the Lord healed a man through them, a cripple, a lame man, a beggar at the gate, beautiful. And all the men who came for prayer were kind of blown away by what they saw. And they came around Peter and John, and then Peter proclaimed the gospel to them and told them that the miracle happened not because of Peter, but because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father, and that he was calling, he's speaking to us through these signs and wonders. He's calling us to pay attention to him, and what he's saying is he's calling everyone to repentance, to come to him, to have their sins forgiven, and to become his disciple, and to become a member of his body, to become a son and daughter of God. And so that is exactly what Jesus commissioned the apostles to do, and they were doing it faithfully, and Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will give you power to do it. And so that's what they were doing. They were stepping out with an expectant faith, knowing that they had within them, because of the promise of Jesus and their experience of the power of the Holy Spirit, they had a power to extend the kingdom according to Jesus' purpose. Jesus said, will be with you always till the end of the age. He's with us and with his church from the day of Pentecost to today. He's with his church in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's present to us, and the Spirit is given as the first agent of the church's mission. So that's what we're seeing unfold. Jesus also promised the apostles that the road was going to be tough. Jesus said, look, people are going to hate you for what you preach. But remember, they hate you because they hated me first. They're resisting my power, my reign, and the establishment of my Father's kingdom. They're battling with sin. They're under sin. They're ignorant. Don't be afraid. In this world, you'll have tribulations. Be sure of it, he said. If you're going to follow me, you're going to proclaim my gospel, you're going to have tribulations. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So now we're going to see the heat is starting to get turned up on the apostles, because the religious leaders and others do not like what they're preaching. Here's chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, the captain of the temple is like the chief of police. He's a cop. You know, he's there. He's securing the temple. So the priests and the captain of the temple of the Sadducees came upon them. The Sadducees were those People were always were opposing Jesus and the gospel. They especially didn't like the fact that the apostles were preaching about the resurrection from the dead. It says here in this translation, it said, the Sadducees came upon Peter and John, annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So why do followers of Christ, those who are proclaiming the gospel, why are they going to experience trial and temptation? Because it annoys people. It bothers people. People don't like it. First of all, they're annoyed because of the fact that they were teaching in the temple. Who do you think you are teaching? Now, just like the confrontations with Jesus, they fail to see the power of God present in these brothers. The sign and the wonder, they almost ignore. They don't like the fact that they're preaching with authority. Secondly, they're preaching about Jesus and the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, and all who believe in him will rise with him. They reject that. They reject the idea of the resurrection from the dead. Now, verse 3, it says, and they arrested them, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. The temple basically was closed about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and no court could convene after that. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Now, that's 2,000 added on to the 3,000 that gave their lives to Christ on the day of Pentecost. So it's growing. The church is growing, and it's growing among Jewish people. They're accepting Jesus as the Messiah. This is happening in the temple. Now, it's possible there's some Gentiles there. There's a court of the Gentiles as well. But it begins here. There's 5,000 men, so probably their wives and their families and others were also being converted, so the number is probably bigger than that. Verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, Annas' son-in-law, and John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. So here's the ruling families of Israel. These are the hoity-toities. These are people who are recognized, and Jesus said to them, their problem is they want to be recognized. They see themselves as superior to others. And they're proprietors of the temple and other things, and they like their power and their influence. They're not humble. Verse 7, and when they had set them in their midst, that is, they set John and Peter in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? And Peter, filled with the Spirit, here it is. Here's such an important lesson for us. When the time comes, Jesus said, you'll be dragged before leaders, rulers, people who are hostile. Whenever you're in situations like that, Jesus said, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will be with you to give you the words to speak. And now here's Peter, the leader of the 12, and he's the first who's going to confront this. But he's confronting it. They're challenging him, the rulers, and he knows he's experiencing being filled with the Spirit. So under the anointing of the Spirit, Peter says to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Wow, that took some courage. The entire entourage of the highest authority of the temple and the people of Israel there, they're all sitting there in their regalia. They've got their force, their police force from the temple is there. And Peter had seen Jesus basically in the same place not too long ago. And they treated him brutally. They mocked him, they ridiculed him, they beat him, they crucified him. So Peter now is following in the footsteps of his master. Remember what Jesus said? If you want to be a disciple, you must deny yourself. That is to deny that drive within you, that thing that's in us, the flesh, the fallen dimension of our lives that says, I'm first, my way, or I'm going to protect myself at all costs. What's most important is my comfort, my pleasure, the fact that powerful people like me, that's all important. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to let me kill all that in you. Because that will cripple you. It will enslave you. It'll make it impossible for you to be my witness. And a disciple's a witness, a follower. So you must deny yourself and then take up what's coming. Take up your cross. Opposition, hard work daily following Jesus, battling against sin in our lives, you know, the fight for holiness, and the extension of the mission and the kingdom of Jesus in the world is costly. It faces resistance. And there's something in each one of us, Jesus knew, that we don't like resistance. We don't like discomfort. We like a Christianity that fits into the world that we shape. We like a comfortable Christianity. And here Peter is showing us right from the get-go, it ain't going to happen. Not if you're serious about Jesus. Not if you're serious about who you are and the anointing he's placed on you in your life. You're going to experience opposition. And Peter cuts right to the chase. He's talking to the rulers of the people. He said, you know, we're today being examined because of a good deed done. Okay, if you want to know where it came from, healing came by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The name. There's power in that name. There's not power in preaching the church, friends. There's not power in preaching me. The power comes in preaching Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord. Peter makes it clear, and he looks right at them. And he said, you crucified him. But we're here to tell that God raised him from the dead. They say it again and again and again. That's the message. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He's alive. He's alive. Everything he ever taught is totally vindicated. He's right about the world. He's right about its origin, its meaning, and its destiny. He's right about me. He's right about you. He's the one who's coming to judge the living and the dead. He's the one we have to get right with, friends. You killed the one who God sent. And we're telling you, by the name of Jesus Christ, this man stands here healed. Peter goes on, this is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which has become the cornerstone. Peter used that same teaching in his first letter to the community there in Asia Minor. He said, and there is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It was true then. It's true now, friends. There is no other name under heaven by which a human being can be saved. Only Jesus Christ can save us. Because he's the God-man who took on human flesh, who died on a cross, was raised from the dead, is ascended at the right hand of the Father, who has established the kingdom. Salvation is entering his kingdom. We're going to talk about that more tomorrow and why Jesus is the only Savior. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday, Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.